Hi, I'm Femi Oke. You're watching the stream. On Sunday, the people of Lebanon turned out to vote in what turned out to be historic parliamentary elections. What difference could a new group of independent MPs have on a country that is already suffering and trying to cope with multiple crises? We start the stream with Rami Khoury.
The Lebanese parliamentary elections have created a slightly revised reality in the country. The dominant force of Hezbollah is still there. They've maintained all their basic seats. They and their allies do not dominate parliament like they used to, control it on their own. They have to make deals now to get the policies they want, and they can block other people's policies. The Christians are more fragmented. The Sunnis are pretty much out of the picture temporarily in the parliament. They're very weak. And the pro-Syrian members of parliament, many of them have lost. And the most significant thing are the 16 members of parliament who identify with the reform movement and the protest movement. Altogether, the parliament has to focus on stabilizing the economy, fixing the lira exchange rate, restoring electricity, and restoring a sense of normalcy and hope in the country.
Oh, so much to talk about in this show. Let's meet our panel, Verena, Habib, Karim. Nice to have you all here on the stream. Verena, please introduce yourself to our international audience.
Hello, thank you for having us. So my name is Verena El Amil. I am a lawyer at Beirut Bar Association. I'm a political activist, and I run for the parliamentary elections of 2022 as the youngest candidate in Metin, suburb of Beirut.
Okay, Verena, how did you do? Don't keep us all on tenterhooks. Tell the audience, how did you do? How did you fare in the elections?
I think these elections were historic. Yeah. In terms of the MPs that were raising from the emerging political parties, from the heart of October 17 uprising, yeah. I think there was, for the first time, there wasn't a monopoly of representation from the traditional political party, and that was impressive in my opinion.
Right.
There are a lot of obstacles and a lot to be done, but it's a good step that brought hope to many Lebanese.
And a smile on the face of a guest who's on a show talking about Lebanon. I love that. Habib, welcome to the stream. Welcome back. Good to have you. Please remind our audience who you are and what you do.
Hi, my name is Habib Bata. I'm a journalist and I've been covering Lebanon's endless problems for the last 20 years, but there's some good stuff as well.
Good to have you. And Karim, nice to have you. Please introduce yourself to the stream viewers.
Yeah, thanks for having us, Femi. My name is Karim Mirhish, and I'm a researcher and writer on socioeconomic and political affairs in Lebanon.
All right, I'm going to bring in a newly elected member of parliament. Let's have a listen. Let's see what she has to say. Habib, come immediately off the back of her. Is her optimism warranted? Let's take a look.
People decided this time they have hope. They are crying, they're happy, they can't believe it. There are people who wanted to leave and told us, we won't travel, we have hope now. They're saying we have hope with all of their hearts. Who had hope in the state before, in MPs or ministers? We are planting hope, and God willing, we will harvest change.
Well, I would say inshallah. That's a big inshallah right there, because you know, it's democracy has been very impressive in Lebanon, I guess, relatively speaking. I think we have a lot to be grateful for, that we pretty much did this election without anybody being killed. That's quite a feat in Lebanon. At least any major battles were not had. And I think, you know, these parties came out of nowhere. And it's really impressive for in any political system on earth for parties who are not in the government to just come in and have a big number of seats. Upsetting people have been doing this for decades. So it's been a very impressive win. However, I would say that democracy is not the only thing a country needs when it is in a deep economic disaster. And I'm not always sure that, you know, countries will be rescued by democracy. And the parliament is a very mixed, motley crew of people who are not really going to agree on many things. And we need at this time more than ever an agreement to salvage this country. We're in a deep, deep financial hole, one of the worst the world has ever seen. So how can we have a fragmented parliament and fix those problems? You know, we have fundamental conflicts in this country that's not going to change just because faces change. Although it is a great opportunity And hopefully in the long term, I'm optimistic, and I think that this will pave the way for a lot of people who never saw themselves in politics to say it's possible. But there's a big challenge ahead, and I don't know if we're going to face it any differently than we faced the last challenges of the last decades in Lebanon, which has never had a moment to rest and actually grow.
Verena, I'm just looking at some of your campaign materials on my laptop. Politics over coffee with candidate Verena Al-Amil. Did you change the way that you campaigned because you were younger, because you are younger? Because I'm, and now may I draw a line from 2019 to where we are now with these new independent MPs, these reformist MPs? Does it connect directly back to people getting onto the streets in Lebanon saying, this is not good enough, we want more, Verena?
I think concerning my campaign, I wanted it to be just simple and just like us, our generation. I think for the first time, maybe I think if we go back to the uprising, our voices were heard. We were frontliners, and after the Beirut blast on August 4, we were the one on the streets trying to clean up the streets when the state was absent at that time. And after the economical crisis, where the youth were forced to leave because there was no possibilities, no job opportunities, the GDP has risen drastically. It's the biggest economical crisis Lebanon has seen since 150 years. So I wanted to show that, yes, we can still have some possibilities here. We can still change the political scene. Staying in Lebanon is still a possibility, and I wanted to break the stereotype of the politician who has a lot of money with big networks of clientelism, who's over than 50 years old male. So I wanted to change this.
You smashed that stereotype. We're looking at some highlights from your campaign. You smashed it, but you didn't get elected. So are you now put off? Yeah. Are you put off? Like, you smashed the stereotype, but you would have really smashed it if we were talking to you as a new MP, right? Not a candidate.
Yeah, I think the district where I was running was really hard. It's the first time where the opposition groups are present, or the alternative faces are present. My list, Nahwa Dawla list, was 88 votes away from securing a seat. It's a list where there was 60% of women. We were a lot of youth representation. I think we weren't that far. I think we were close. I think we reached the people. There was something that had changed in Metin district. This list, everyone was saying when we started, it will get only 200 to 3,000 votes. It got more than 11,500 votes.
And you're still smiling.
It was a big surprise.
Yeah, I can tell that you're happy with how you did. All right, so, Karim, I want to bring in Ali Sleem here because I am wondering, we've had a bit of a shake-up, but can this new mix get the job done? Earlier, we spoke to Ali Sleem. This is what Ali had to say. And then can you come off, Karim, off the back with your thoughts about the challenges that this new parliament, once it all gets together, will have? Here's Ali.
The election results have brought some new faces into the parliament. However, the parliamentary blocks remain very fragile and fragmented, which would definitely lead to more tensions among established political parties and the new emerging groups in the parliament. Also, the political narrative didn't help at all. Some people were accused of being shields for Israel by some established political parties and leaders. And I assume also the economic collapse and the devaluation of the currency and the free fall we are experiencing would result in more political turmoil and a postponement of any cabinet formation, at least for the next few weeks.
Go ahead, Karim.
I mean, despite the fact that there were so many violations documented by film, despite this fact, I agree with Verena that these elections are truly historic to some extent, because for perhaps the first time in our republic's history, we do have a sizable block of non-sectarian parliamentarians who do want to challenge some facets of the system. Now, I'm not going to talk too much about the fragmentation within the traditional elites who dominate the parliament, but within this block of opposition MPs, there is a main fault line, I think, over the causes of the financial crisis. So while some MPs do believe that the banks have to pay their fair share of the burden, their fair share of the financial losses, because the banks and the ruling, the political elites are a symbiosis, you know, they're one and the same. Some other MPs, despite the fact that they might have socially progressive views, they might be in favor of civil marriage, they might, you know, be in favor of women empowerment, a quota for women in parliament or whatnot, they might not have the same views when it comes to how to solve the financial crisis. Yeah. I think this is what we focus on right now as when it comes to the opposition MPs, because we can't expect much from the traditional sectarian parties. At least we have these MPs that do represent a sizable segment of the population. They're the ones that we have to, you know, pressure to at least make sure that the banks in Lebanon pay their fair share and don't get away with the crime that they and the politicians, they're one and the same, have committed.
Habib, go pick up. Go ahead.
And not to share the state's fears.
We have to be careful with the term secular independent, because what really matters right now is what's your economic policy. We don't know what the economic policy a lot of people are. A lot of people are, you know, coming from the same system. You know, some of them are businessmen. Some of them are backed by millionaires. And we have a problem with the capitalism of Lebanon. It's very unforgiving. It doesn't tax the rich. Nobody, the government doesn't get any revenue because it's a very regressive system. So how can we even have a state functioning if we don't even have any kind of accountability for those who make the most money in the country? Our last two prime ministers were billionaires in a country where people are making $20 a month minimum wage. So there's a deep economic schism in the country. Unfortunately, this election was mainly about politics, was mainly about, you know, the kind of cold war between the United States and Iran. Who's better? Who's the better guy? Do we want to get rid of Iran? We want to get rid of the United States? But we didn't really tackle the problem of we're in a country that makes almost nothing. We also have no industry in the country. There's no support. So we have this really hyper-capitalist system in the country that very few people are actually taking a position on. And the one party that actually had a platform didn't win any elections. And so most of those who won actually had almost no platform. And we have it's a mystery to us what's going to happen. How are they going to vote? And again, this is a time when we need to have not a debate in parliament, but we need to have a solid team effort to rescue a country that's in one of the worst crises that, you know, major organizations have ever seen, like the World Bank. And so how are we going to do that? It's not a time for showmanship and debate and who's corrupt and who's clean, and that kind of thing. And these kind of, you know, demagoguery accusations. We actually need to have solid team. If we don't have a solid team.
Extraordinary politicians. That's going to take extraordinary politicians to be able to do that in a political system that is very fragmented. Let me add something else. I don't need to share this headline with you guests, but this is for our audience watching internationally. Lebanon currency hits new low after vote. Crisis deepens. Habib, what does that mean to the Lebanese currency that you have in your pocket today? What does that mean? What can you spend it on?
It's like a hot potato having currency in your pocket. You just got to go and spend it on something because it could be worthless, you know, whatever you exchange within an hour or two. And today I was running around trying to get gas. I'm watching my water tank all day. There's no water in my tank. I'm hoping and praying the water will come, or I have to buy water. And the water will be more expensive now because the gas is more expensive. The gas station was closed today. I was the last car to get gas today. So again, we kind of talk about Lebanon like it's a state that needs to be fixed. In my view, it's not even a state. If you can't provide power, if you can't provide water, if there is no idea who is in charge, we have this constant battle between militias. It's a war that never ended. And if there's no victory, you know, we're living in this crisis. You know, we can bring me Superman and Batman to parliament, but they're not going to change anything if, you know, the whole system is so fragmented. And you have this Cold War. Don't forget, it's not just the Lebanese. You know, Saudi Arabia put money in this election. America put money in this election.
But,
okay, these countries...
What's good?
are not interested in actually a stable Lebanon. They're interested in a Lebanon that they can control and manipulate. And that's a big challenge to fight those big world powers in a tiny country with no military.
If I may just add something. No, go ahead.
Okay. I just wanted to say that what's good this time with the new MPs who are in the game, if you want to call it that way, is that they aren't part of this bipolarization, if you want. And I think they are most of them are from normal people who just wanted to serve the people who have no interest with the system, who want to abolish the system. And in my opinion, having 10 MPs now, they can present in front of the Constitutional Council for the first time, in my opinion. I think since they are from the heart of the uprising, there will still be people who will put the pressure on the streets. They will put the pressure in parliament. They will try to lobby and change some legislations that would change the face of the system, that would lobby for better legislations concerning the economic crisis, the capital control, etc. And I think that's what's interesting in the change of the political scene right now after the elections, in my opinion.
Karim, go ahead.
Yeah. So I completely agree with the points Habib was making. And I want to add a bit on when it comes to the currency, because for around 2 months before the elections, suddenly the Lebanese lira, our national currency, was stable at a stable rate. And all of a sudden, as soon as the elections ended, the currency lost a lot of value. And what happened actually is that the central bank 90%
since 2019.
Yeah, I mean, our currency has become completely worthless, but
it has lost more than 90%.
The point I'm making is that right after the elections, basically the currency lost a lot of value. What exactly happened is that the central bank governor was pumping dollars from the foreign currency reserves in the central bank into the market just to try to keep things stable until election, so that the discourse, the public discourse, can be about either Hezbollah's weapons or so-called sovereignty, even though nobody of the traditional elites has any idea what they mean by sovereignty. And unfortunately, economic issues, bread and butter issues, the financial crisis was largely absent from the public discourse. So the central bank governor, who is currently under judicial investigation in, I believe, 7 European jurisdictions, and a lot of evidence about his corruption has been made public by Lebanese journalists and non-Lebanese journalists. This man is part and parcel of the system. He is part of the financial collapse. So
Karim,
let me
share this with you, because Ali is watching right now this conversation. He says, how come that the lira has lost so much of its value since the end of the elections? Right? That's a suspicious question. It seems to me, says Ali, that so far this election has been more harm than good despite the new faces. Karim, do you want to very quickly comment on that?
Yes, very quickly. Yeah. I don't think it's useful to say whether it did more harm than good. It's too early to judge, and it's too early to judge the opposition MPs who got elected. But as I was saying, the central bank governor was pumping dollars into the country, into the market.
Yeah.
And these dollars, rather than being used for, you know, productive purposes like supporting local industries or whatever remains of them, like Habib was saying, because we don't have industries or sectors in our economy that can export and bring in dollars into the country or hard currencies. What ended up happening is that these dollars of the central bank were being pumped into the market just to keep this rate slightly stable. Now that the elections are over, we have a new parliament. Okay, they stopped the, if you want, tap, and the dollars, barely any dollars remain in the central bank anyway. So that's why the currency has suddenly lost so much value in the last few days.
And people have noticed, people in Lebanon, they know this, they've seen this. I'm going to bring in a new voice here. Habib, would you comment on this for me? This is Hezbollah Secretary General. He was talking as the election results came out. Interesting to see his take on what Hezbollah plans to do. Let's have a listen up. Let's have a look.
The resistance and its allies have a wide presence in the new parliament. It is a fact that no one can argue with. No group is able to handle the issues we are facing, even if they obtain a majority, given the scale of the financial, monetary and economic crises. In addition, there are the daily life problems, the lack of electricity, medications and food, unemployment, the lira losing its value against the dollar, which has had an impact on salaries and prices.
Habib, you were saying that not even superheroes can get the job done, and here's Hezbollah saying no one group can deal with all of these problems. So what happens?
Yeah, I mean, they're a very pragmatic organization. They're going to try to play politics and figure out something. I don't know how they can make an alliance, because now they have to make, now the biggest second party is a more extreme party. It's like the Christian Hezbollah. And, you know, they have like a crucifix that they come out with like a dagger on it. So they have a civil war participant. A lot of people's nightmares have them in them. So how is Hezbollah going to deal with its kind of arch nemesis now? It was kind of a more of a watered down nemesis, but now it's got this to deal with. So it's going to be very difficult for Hezbollah even to manage, it seems. And but, you know, he's right. I mean, we are facing this daily life problems. And Karim was right to bring up the banks. You know, I can't get money. I can't get my money out of the bank. People have lost their whole life savings. And the bank is giving us small amounts of money at a 80% haircut. So imagine you go to the bank, take $100, you get $20 in return. So again, like it's nice to talk about, you know, democracy and young people and youth. But, you know, I feel like this whole conversation is a big distraction from the fundamental problems and the fundamental conflicts that Lebanon faces. And it's been going on for, you know, 100 years now. Every decade there's a war in Lebanon. So
and we've had it. One doesn't eliminate the other. We can talk about youth, about women representation, and yet talk about the economy and the fundamental changes that we are aspiring and aiming for.
But we don't know what the economic policies are. We don't know what the economic policies are of a lot of the candidates. So we're not talking about the economy. We're talking mainly about big rhetorical issues of what is the right or wrong.
That's the biggest hot topic between the new elected MPs. And that's what being discussed at the moment on the table, the economical plan that they will try to adopt. And that's the most important point that they will construct their coalition upon it. So I think, no, they know that's the main thing or the hottest topic or the most urgent topic. And I think they are on the right track debating it right now and just setting their alliances.
But it's a debate. So we don't, but the problem is that the people don't know what they're debating. It's still a closed door debate. So we don't know how these people are going to come together. Again, some of them have come from big money. Some of them are kind of like the old school politics, businessmen in politics. And I know that some parties do get a lot of funding from other parties. Some are against civil marriage. Some are homophobic. Some are, you know, xenophobic.
Habib, you sound like you're so over Lebanese politics right now. Habib is like, I am done with politics. Verena, thank goodness we have some positivity in the room right now. On YouTube, we are being asked, what kind of change do you expect to see? This is going to be very brief because that's an entire show that we could do just on that one question by itself. Karim, your thought here in a sentence, the kind of change that you expect, because we still have a long process of having to pick a prime minister and then elect a president. So there's a while to go of uncertainty about what this parliament will even look like. But in a sentence, what's the change you're expecting to see?
I mean, I'm very sorry to say, but I expect the changes to be much more negative in the very near future, because right now we have a government void. We don't have a government. It's in caretaker mode.
And
later in the year, we're going to have presidential elections. And we don't know if these elections will even take place or if we'll even have a presidential void, because in Lebanese politics, it's really difficult for all of these different factions to get together and actually enact policies or just do something for the people. So I'm very pessimistic.
Oh, we're going to end on a pessimistic note. Thank you so much, Karim. Habib, I appreciate you. Verena, thank you for being part of the show and for your comments and questions on YouTube. Appreciate you. The Lebanese story is not over yet. I know we will return to it. But for now, thanks for watching. See you next time.